And welcome to the Gleep Glossary, our Star Wars Schneid Snow, snowing out because it's February. And I'm joined with the usual, you know, you see like Mos Eisley Cantina. We're talking about Mos Eisley Cantina today. We're going back to formula.
Mm-hmm. Back to formula.
And, you know, that's a bar full of critters and weird looking things. And hell, we've got some of them here today. Hello to Andrew.
Critter number one, yo!
Chris Cabin.
Hello.
And Steven Sadak. You see? I told you.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, good crittering.
I told you.
That's a spider face right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ew.
Good thing none of you are droids, because we don't serve that kind here. Today we're talking Star Wars Essential Guide to Characters, as Yuji. As
yeah.
Andy Mangles. Love him. Love him.
The Bible. The Bible. We're going back to it.
Can I stop you there real quick? Everyone gets up my ass because I said, we don't serve your kind here. I literally just can't keep their oil stocked. It takes up so much room. Very few droids come to go and have it. And if I don't have it, I'm an asshole. So now I'm the bad guy.
After the droid rights movement, that footage resurfaced, and boy was egg on his face.
They make you purchase it in wholesale. Did you know that?
Yeah, I tried to put a pump outside, but then all they kept saying was, why can't we come inside? And I said, because you show me. Where's the pump going to go inside? It's a whole pump. All you drink is oil. You tell me. So, yes, I don't, because I can't serve your kind here.
I'm trying to save you the trouble from sitting down, order the oil, and then I'm an asshole.
Yes, I'm sorry that I'm not homeless and jobless, because that's what would have happened if I had tried to do it.
Oh, no, I'm homeless and jobless now because the city and the state is making me put in a hydraulic garage lift to service droids now.
Also, nobody wants to work anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
That, you know, nobody wants to work anymore. That's a perfect segue into the land of science fiction and fake stuff. And we're talking about Cabe and Muftak.
Nice.
I believe that's how you say it, and if I said it wrong, that's fine.
Can we have some Cabe and buttered Muftak for the table, please?
I like that next to like my pickled ginger. I like that. You know,
oh, that yeah. Pickled right ginger. We'll get to them in the book a little later.
Oh, dangerous sort.
So Tatooine could be an unfriendly place. Especially for an unlikely pair of aliens. Nevertheless, Cabe and Muftak took care of each other on the streets and in the alleys of Mos Eisley.
Well, all they had to do was wait a little while, and then they could have made friends with Boba Friend. He's the friendliest guy on Tatooine.
Oh, yeah. It could be like Oliver and company. They would have a real, little community right there.
So off the bat, by the way, Cabe is apparently female, looks like a little rat creature. Muftak kind of is apparently male and looks like a yeti of something like a snow beast.
He's got the, I'm looking at him now right now, he's got the weird like hanging little thing that right near his mouth.
Oh yeah, dude, when he gets that little hanging little lip mouth up your asshole, you are going to fucking be in heaven.
It's just, God. Yeah, it's very graphic.
It's very graphic. By the way, Cabe, apparently from the planet of Chad.
Ooh. All right.
I thought they'd have a better jawline.
Yes.
Internet jokes.
Ba-doom.
So, okay. All right. So Cabe is a young Chandra fan, one of the survivors of the quakes that decimated the primitive Chadarian civilization. Taken by slavers to always with this shit.
Yeah.
Good God, George.
Taken by slavers.
Where do the slavers come in? good pitch. Really interesting. Really like it. Where? I didn't hear the word slavery anywhere.
Well, hey, at least he says it more than Nikki Haley.
is that a clip from last week's episode? SNL? Was that just what I just heard right there?
The infant Cabe was left behind when the slave ship's departure had to be rushed. She knows little of her species heritage. I guess they just she was taken to Tatooine for slavery, but they just left her there and didn't sell her.
Okay.
Yeah, man, you can just like, you can fall asleep with the wrong fucking part of the Star Wars galaxy. You wake up a slave.
Absolutely.
It's a dangerous place to be.
Hey, wow. This is a fantastic script. And dare I say, I could see it really being spread out into a trilogy. But I'm going to have to pass because where's the slavery, man?
You know, I was thinking, Cabe, she could use some grit, you know, something dark in her past. And I was thinking, oh, God, oh, please don't say it. I was thinking maybe she could be a slave.
Although she does have the Chandra fans' instinctive drive to pursue pleasure. Hey, nice. Fuck.
Whoa.
Am I one of them? The desire to tinker and the need to avoid solitude. Okay, I'm not one of them.
No, yeah.
Due to her small size, keen senses, and quick reflexes, Cabe became a talented thief.
Mm. Oh, that makes sense.
Of course.
Getting those little thingies in your pocket. To her, thievery and cons were a game, not a crime. Mm. Yet her skills provided her a reasonable livelihood.
Actually, that is a very George Lucas-esque change of language. It's not a pickpocket anymore. It's a thingy pocket.
Yes.
Oh, they got one of the thingy pockets. Got one of our lightsabers.
It's sort of like that movie Brisson's Thingy Pocket. yeah, like all Chandra fans, Cabe has extra senses of infrared vision and chemoreceptive smell, both of which come in handy for a thief.
And also for being a slave.
With her infrared vision, she could see all the work she's not doing.
You know, the frame they have of Cabe on Wikipedia is her taking the glass off the bar.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You think she's stealing it? You think that's somebody else's drink?
Probably. Oh, what a scumbag move,
man. I don't know if we've seen credits
move,
change hands, you know what I mean?
Oh, dude, a guy that I wasn't there when it happened, but a guy that I knew growing up, always a scumbag, got kicked out of a bar for stealing the bartender's tips.
Oh, really? Wow. Man, that's rough.
It was one of those bars where, like, you know, fast pace, like just the bartender was just leaving his tips on the table. You know what I mean? Like, which is every bartender's right. But then to steal it and then get caught. Oh, man, I'd hang myself.
That is insane.
It's such a grimy thing to do.
Like, why don't you just go take money out of the fucking Salvation Army Santa thing, dude?
Yeah. Yes. That's not going on any kids.
Also, yeah, I don't think the Santa's going to fight you like a bartender will.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, he was roughly ejected from that bar.
Oh, executed. Oh, my God.
Ejected, wrong word.
It gets really rough in the Bronx.
Was there a bouncer situation?
Yeah, the bouncer just got the fuck out of there.
Oof. Oof. That's the thing. So you're going to steal. Make sure that, you know, there's not like a fucking 500-pound, 6'7" guy over there.
Yes, yep. Exactly.
Or maybe also you could take it the other side there, Eric. Like, if you are going to be the scumbag who steals tips from the fucking bar, you better start hitting the gym, buddy, and get as big as possible so that you can fight these guys.
Thank you. That's the motivation. I'm stealing the bar tips to pay for the gym membership to get the muscles to steal the bar tips.
It's a cycle. It's just a cycle going on.
Cabe's favorite scam was dressing up as a Jawa and charging Mos Eisley newcomers service taxes for the local non-existent merchants guild.
Wow.
I like this pretending to be a Jawa.
Mm-hmm. Well, because nobody knows what they look like underneath there anyway. You know what I mean?
Right, and those people would do those crimes, Steve. That's the other thing.
This did not sit well with the real Jawas, and the short desert scavengers accosted Cabe many times.
Dude. Oh, let me see that in something. Put that in. I'll even take a cartoon short. They have that Star Wars short show on Disney Plus. Do one with this. I got to see that.
Well, it's like that part in Rounders when they find out that they're at the cop bar or whatever. They got the shit kicked out of them.
Yeah.
But it would be great because it'd be all these Jawas kicking little Cade. So a really tiny kind of like beatdown.
Yeah, tiny fight. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's like stolen valor. Like, that's not how we wear the robe. Not like that. Oh, yeah, asshole.
What Sandcrawler unit are you in? What Sandcrawler?
We must kill Cab and Muftak for my Russian accent.
Man, Malkovich in that movie is a wild ride.
That's probably, it's probably an episode.
Definitely.
Oh,
dude.
Sure. Yeah.
So the street smart Cabe was caught in her thievery often enough that she would have been a blot on the Tatooine ground if not for her giant, fierce-looking, white, furried friend, Muftak.
There you go. Yep. Nobody's fucking with you when you got Muftak by your side.
No
dude.
Way, dude. Born on Tatooine, Muftak. Oh, local boy.
Oh, shit.
Maybe went to fucking elementary school with Luke Skywalker. Although I get that. That deranged Owen Lars was probably homeschooling, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not many people know this, but the Journey song Don't Stop Believin' about Cabe and Muftak.
You could waste time with your friend Muftak later. Harvest when I need you the most. Can't be having drinks with Muftak?
Are you braiding Muftak? Did you braid Muftak's hair? Oh, that's very pretty.
Was Muftak, because I got the Wikipedia here. The Muftak picture is from Star Wars, of course. He's got like the little thing coming out of his mouth. Was he smoking something or no?
No, I don't think so. No, and that little lip snout, I think, is for use going up the asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
nice.
Uh-huh. Oh, Luke had some things he wanted to do before he started today. He wanted to go see the Muftak.
Oh, yeah, he's a rim jobbian. Yeah, from the planet Rim Job.
Now, was Muftak ever, I don't know, a slave? By
Let's find out.
He could also be a slaver, by the way. That's also, maybe the big one enslaves the little one. What do you guys think about that?
The story of the universe is the slavee and the slaver. So Muftak knows nothing about his cultural background. He is a Tals, a member of
Italian? Wow.
Tals?
He's a Tals.
He is a Tals. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's Italian?
Space Italian. No, okay, no, I can't say that. A Tals. he likes spaghetti and talks with his hands.
T-A-L-Z, I see it.
God. Yes. A member of the giant race from Alzok 3. Alzok 3.
Mm.
His people were subjugated by the Empire, of course, and cut off from the galaxy.
You don't say.
Only a handful of Tals exist away from their home planet, and no one quite knows... no one quite knows what they are. Okay.
I bet you I could tell you. I bet a couple of them turned into slaves.
But I mean, this big hulking white furry beast on a desert planet, that's a death sentence.
Yeah you're totally right.
This thing would be dead in a minute.
It's like me on Earth.
He seems like a wampa. Like he needs to be on Hoth. He'd be hanging out there.
Because of their great strength, large size, and sharply taloned hands, few but the brave ever dare talk to a Tals. Muftak grew up with no parental figures, living on the streets of Mos Eisley, turning... No, I don't know. No,
Jesus. You know, I'd like to throw that Tals out of here, but, you know, if I do that, then all the other Tals are going to start giving me shit about my Tals policy. All right, no, Tals can come, I guess. Great, great.
By watching with his four eyes and listening, Muftak learned more about the comings and goings of the spaceport than anyone, with the possible exceptions of band leader Frigrin Dan and the long snoot spy Ghiridin.
Mm. Ooh, we know both Ghiridin. Those guys.
Yes, yeah. Previous entries, both of them. Mm-hmm. So Muftak took in the young Cabe and sheltered her for 5 years in a section out of abandoned tunnels beneath Docking Bay 83.
Oh, wow. Great place to set up.
Yes, totally. Living like Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. The others from Us are down there, too, hanging out.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Thankfully, it's not Docking Bay 94. I don't want them under the Millennium Falcon. You know how on the nose this shit can get.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
Yeah, it's a few stalls down. So the tall, furry creature was very protective of the small Chandra fan.
Aww.
Their relationship is plutonic, yeah, right?
Oh, yeah, he has to spell that out for us. No, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yep, totally.
And yet their love for each other is undeniable.
Mm. Yep.
Since the Chandra fan has an instinctual need for companionship, Cabe has always been happiest when with her big furry friend.
This is kind of nice. like my neighbor Totoro. My buddy Muftok.
Yeah. With no real goals or responsibilities, fucking living the life, huh?
Yep. Not bad.
Muftok survived on the credits that Cabe stole and the money he made giving out information. Both Cabe and Muftok spent a lot of time in Chalmun the Wookiee's cantina, which, yes, in the old EU, even though I think his name is Wilmer or something, the guy that runs is the bartender. Apparently, the owner of Mos Eisley Cantina is a Wookiee.
Mm. Hello, I'm Chalmun. Chalmun the Wookiee. Nice to meet you.
Everyone comes to Chalmun's, yeah.
No, don't let any of those fucking androids in. I'll dismantle them myself.
I always just thought it was a weird detail because as a kid, I was always like, well, it was that guy's bar. Oh, no, it's there's like a management firm I don't know about it. I got to read about it now. Okay.
Charm International.
In the cantina where Muftok engaged the Ithorian Momar Nadan.
It's Gaddafi.
Momar Gaddafi. Momar Nadan, I think we might have covered.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds
before.
Familiar.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like a snail person kind of thing.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
In semi-intellectual conversations. And Cabe practiced her credit-lifting skills at the cantina. Cabe wouldn't drink much, given that even a small snifter of jury juice would make her pass out.
Oh, she just really can't handle it. Oh, because she's tiny.
Yeah.
Oh,
I see.
The idea here is that Muftok wows them with intellectually stimulating conversation.
Right.
While looking like the abominable snowman from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Patuko Zempic. So while they're chatting and having a great, snappy, fun, Truman Capote-esque, dare I say, time, around the way, Cabe is like lifting wallets and whatnot.
That's right.
Yes.
Love it. This is the short. This is the short I want to see on the Disney Plus show.
It fucking sounds sexy, you know?
It does.
Like, it's really like...
Or like they're little scamps. Like it's Paper Moon.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Except for Muftok is not going to slap her after she gets nominated over him.
You never know.
maybe one day.
Muftok really wants to be nominated.
He was gunning for it. He really wanted it.
Okay, so as Muftok carried the drunken Cabe back to their home one night.
Yeah, oh, yes. Dude, he'd been there before.
He decided to help her on what she considered her most dangerous mission.
Help her, Muftok.
To rob Jabba the Hutt's Mos Eisley townhouse. What townhouse?
You know what, dude? You need to let Cade sleep this one off. You know what I mean? You're putting her to bed. It's like... No, tomorrow, I swear to God, we're going to go to that son of a bitch Jabba's summer house. I heard he's got coke there, and he's probably got large bills just everywhere.
Townhouse?
Townhouse, I can't get over that. It's like, how is he getting in there?
Yeah, you see, are there steps in front? Because that's a problem right there.
Oh, ho, ho. I need to relax in me townhouse.
Cabe found a secret entrance, and the booty from the house could keep them both set for life.
Oh, dude, Cabe, nice. You idiot. You drunk idiot.
So when Cabe sobered up later in the evening, they put their plan into motion. That night.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Gotta go for it. Just move.
Wow. Okay, hang on a second. News in from Wikipedia. I gotta barge in with something.
Please.
I'm sorry. Jabba the Hutt's townhouse. Check this shit out.
Zwillow listing for us?
I Googled it. Yeah, yeah. Here's the previous residence report. No, it's so this comes up. It says the Desilijic complex, also called Jabba's townhouse or his Tatooine townhome, was a safe house used by Jabba Desilijic Tior, located in the spaceport city of Mos Eisley on Tatooine near Damal's docking bay and the Jango Fett Arena.
What?
Oh, wow.
No. Oh, yeah. All of that sounds awesome.
Is that worse or better than the Crypto Arena? Than,
I'm going to say better.
I would like to see this townhouse, though. I hear Frank Lloyd Wright did it.
Yes.
I just like, now that gives a good pretext for Boba Fett taking over, being like, crikey, my father's name is on the goddamn arena down the street. You know?
Gotta play some soccer. Some
it looks like
soccer.
It was a cool thing, too. They should have done this. Oh, but it's a Legends thing. It's not canon.
Yeah. Well, what
Legends.
Is
Legends.
Season of Legends right here. Once they gain access to the townhouse through an old vent in the roof,
yep.
Cabe's acute senses of hearing help them escape tripping the traps and alarms.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Later, as they plan to leave, Cabe and Muftak stumbled upon a torture chamber where a rebel buried Masurium was shackled.
Yep.
He offered the two 30,000 credits if they would deliver a data dot to Mon Calamari, who would be visiting Mos Eisley in a few days.
Ooh, intrigue.
Yeah. Appealing to them to not turn over the data dot to the Imperial Prefect, he reminded them that the Empire had no place for non-humans. Yeah. During the duo's escape from Jabba's townhouse, a confrontation with two Gamorrean guards, those are the green pig guys.
We know.
Someone listening might not. And I want to like hold their hand. I want to hold your hand. So
no, yeah, I'm going to Prospect Park, and then we're heading over to Jabba's townhouse for a little bit. We're going to have some brunch there. We're going to have some salmon.
So it led to a firefight with a dozen others, I guess. Whoa. Other Gamorrean guards, headed by Bib Fortuna. Fuck, are you robbing them when they're home?
Yeah,
it's not a challenge otherwise.
Not a great idea.
No. So Cabe found a small exit, but Muftak, knowing that he couldn't fit, let his friend escape alone.
Oh, fuck, dude. Sacrificed himself.
I never read. There was a short story about them. I never read it, I don't think, or maybe I just forgot it, but I can't wait to see what happens. Hopefully Muftak is gunned down and shot 50 times in the back.
Yeah. Holds on to the door screaming, Muftak! Move the top.
Or he gets just beaten to death in a cornfield with a bunch of aluminum baseball bats.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be
with his brother Dominok.
When she realized that Muftak meant to sacrifice himself, the Chandra fan returned to the smoky melee, and both were able to escape. Fuck.
Aww.
With only a little of their stolen loot.
I want Muftak to get fucking Sonny Corleone, you know what I mean?
Oh yes. That's a body built for bullets. Mm-hmm. Look at that. And the white fur, that would look so good with like blood and pink mist. Oh, yeah. The whole thing. So politically apathetic before, Muftak and Cabe now found themselves involved with the rebellion.
Radicalized, dude.
I got radicalized at, you know, after we went to Prospect Park and the Jabba's townhouse, I got radicalized there.
Because I didn't get enough loot. That was what did it to me, is that I didn't get enough stolen merchandise.
If they wanted to keep their credits in their lives, they met with the Mon Calamarian and gave him the data dot.
Mm.
In return, they got 15,000 credits, and the deal was for 30.
Yeah.
And two stolen travel vouchers signed by Grand Moff Tarkin himself. Oh, nice.
Oh, collectible.
This is like the plot of
Casablanca. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
The German transit papers were included in this deal.
I was going to say, this sounds too good to be true. I would think this is a trap. If I'm getting 20 grand on top of what I was agreed to, and I'm getting these passes, I don't know.
Well, no. You're only getting half the money. They were promised 30.
Oh, I thought you said 50. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. Maybe I misspoke. They were promised 30,000. They got 15,000.
15, okay.
But two travel vouchers.
The vouchers, I think, are probably worth their weight in gold, man.
Yeah, they're probably worth their 15.
It has to be.
Yeah, at least.
So I think these lovebirds are going to elope because we are on to our last paragraph.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
The odd couple left Tatooine for the first time ever, heading toward the Tal's home planet of Alzok 3, and then on to Chad, striking out in search of their destinies.
Ooh.
Yeah, they might just make it after all. They're going to find out. Like, Muftak's going to go back to Tal's, learn how to eat their weird food, and Cabe is going to go back to where she was taken by slavers and being, you know, like, wow, this is where it all started.
Slavers yet again.
What if she accidentally found some slavers?
But then the slavers came back just in time to get her again. They hit her over the head with a box of hammers. And while Muftak was in the John.
You see, Cabe and Muftak were slaves once, but now they're going to own their own slaves. And that's really complex emotional stuff we're going to have there.
That's progress.
It's something. And so was that entry. My God, what did we learn today? Did we have a good time today? Is everyone feeling all right? Steve and Sadak, what do you think?
I enjoy that they get out, you know, they get out with their wits about them. You know, usually these entries end in tragedy, you know? It's nice.
Yeah, that's true.
I like the hopeful ending. I'll be happy.
Very uplifting. Speaking of uplifting. Lifting or the opposite of it, Chris Cabin, what do you think?
Oh, I love it. I agree with Andrew. I do think they should turn this into like a, you know, a cartoon series, a big and short character. I love that duo. It's a perfect duo. And yeah, they seem like a nice duo. I like thieves. I like scamps who thieve. I think that's cool. I like the Oliver Twist and the Artful Dodger. Stuff's great.
Well, it sounds like these kids just make it after all. Andrew, what do you think?
So I think that, interestingly enough, in 2001, there was a book published by written by Anne Margaret Lewis, who wrote The Essential Guide to Alien Species, which appears to be like a sister sequel kind of spiritual sequel to this.
I think
this
I have
book.
That in a storage unit.
And it's really funny because she has an edition that they put on Muftak's Wikipedia that is one of the funniest things in any Star Wars detail ever, and I just want to share it. It talks about, yes, they fled Tatooine traveling to Alzok 3 and Chad before visiting other planets. That's what it says. And then the final line of Muftak's entry. During this time, Muftak wrote his autobiography, Sands in Winter.
What? Yes.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. It's the best title ever.
That is a book reading I would go to.
Absolutely.
Until our next book reading on this show, I've been Eric Siska.
Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Now go itch shoot yourself.